you could hear from some of the earlier poems that I grew up in the suburbs. And the suburbs are just an interesting geographical and I guess, philosophical space for me. So I have some poems that try to take different aspects, theoretical aspects of that space, represented in a narrative form. This one I'm going to share right now is titled Suburban Passional. Suburban Passional. Measured, I would tell the nation, with my lips drawn and certain, if a correspondent prompted me to describe the widow. As in, she measured evenings in the incense, I watched ash like a fuse, and once imagined her body turned to silt wicked in bathwater. Yet puckering the sofa with elbows and heels, she sat listening to bitches brew. This the time I came collecting for the courier. Vertical blinds strobing my view of her through the rec room window, the bare and jewel-charmed ankle, the cable box and grape drink can. From the beveled shoulder in her boat-neck blouse to the brass ashtray, my eyes riffled the blinds like a pack of cards and landed on a pack of easy widers. Don't think I didn't know what I was clocking. My father loved that album, and lately wild the afternoons affecting postures of one kissed by the lotus. As I rang the bell, she emptied the earth-colored leather and chrome and crossed the room in Sergio Valente's. I swore allegiance to her that day and no longer to the crew of boys on mopeds who lived at the end of our cul-de-sac. I knew something of devotion because my father made me recite the St. Crispin's Day speech whenever I misbehaved. Here I stood now on her porch thinking, we few, we happy few, as I watched her hide the stash box in the bookshelf. And I thought of her husband, who passed out athwart the leather of his 79 Eldorado, still idling in the spotless garage, home from the bar one night. She left the garage door open for months afterward, and I felt guilty for secretly wishing my father dead instead of Mr. Calvin. And in the memory of that night, I included a news crew among the ambulance and police to distract my guilt by scandalizing the scene. I recalled this as I glanced back at the cruiser just then passing as I stood waiting for her to answer the door. Next thought, fear. Not fear for safety, but the fear I sensed in men watching football. I had to figure passion as a form of fear, since fear was always shaken into cocktails of butterflies and bile, making it sublime, and so I sometimes wore an engine red football helmet while riding my paper route. And because the sight from other senses must suffice when one goes blind with fear, as I did in those awkward test runs out to balance the admixture, I scraped the scabs of familiarity and deposits of routine associations from the streets I plied, and left the bare empirical frothing there in the sunlight like battery acid. I imagined myself cool as 5-0 behind Ray-Bans and assumed the arrogance from whence I could dismiss what the theater of my absurd knew of itself. In my righteous alienation, I chuckled at the quaintness of it all. My new ignorance had inertia like the vices of men silhouetted in garages and lifted me from my bike by the fascinations to lead me to an apprehension of details otherwise unsung in this here life. Such as chlorinated towels draping handlebars, lawns edged like mint chocolate cake, and the styrofoam glider caught in a tree boiling with evening breeze. Thus inspired, I told her I was sorry to disturb her, as I listened to the cop car grip the sun-softened blacktop like Velcro as it tread around the bend. I said she was pretty. She tugged two bills from a wallet and watched me off as I haunted a Prince tune like a castrato down the drive beneath my helmet. And even now, I want to reach into the stanza the way she reached into her jeans to pay me, reach in to take the rosining roach from her fingers to shotgun a beam of smoke across her polished bottom lip, maybe kiss her like I'd never left home, afraid it wouldn't be there if I ever did return.